Blaze, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us here on the Daily Program. Now, just to, I guess, to give us a little bit of an idea to get people up to date, just how would any changes to our sort of central thinking around federalism allow Australians to rethink approaches to education?
Yeah, right. So I guess at the moment that we have the federal government decides on how schools are funded. So there's a nationwide school funding model. And then states and territories, in order to get the money from the federal government to spend on schools, need to spend it in a certain way. So the federal government basically has a top-down approach to deciding how schools get money. That's basically the agreement they enter into. And because the federal government has most of the taxation powers, they have most of the money, right? So the states and territories need the money from the federal government so that they can run the state and territory schools. Now, in terms of federalism, basically, one approach is to sort of move away from this and to sort of give more power to the local state and territory to decide how to fund their own school system. And the argument is that states and territories, because they're closer to the local need, will be better able to facilitate that local need because they're closer to the people who they're actually trying to help.
And we've heard this kind of talk around Gonski 2.0, which I think is sort of catching a lot of people flat-footed. They're not real sure what we're looking at when we talk Gonski 2.0, a reset of that actual system. So how does this kind of conversation affect these reforms, the Gonski reforms?
Yeah, right. So basically, the federal government used to have a whole lot of different school funding agreements with different states and different school systems and the Catholic school system and the independent schools and so on. And now the federal government, the Turnbull government, has decided to get rid of all them and move to one consistent funding model so they treat all schools the same. And then part of that is that they're forcing the states and territories to increase their own funding for schools in order to get this extra funding from the federal government, because the federal government's radically increasing the spending on schools over the next 10 years. So there's going to be a 75% increase in federal government spending on schools over the next 10 years. And so basically for states and territories to qualify for that, they need to increase their own funding. So in a sense, that goes against federalism in a sense, because the federal government is telling the states and territories what to do, and the states and territories have less control over their own school system.
Well, as I say, we kind of see this argument crop up in a lot of places. A lot of regional governments would certainly like more power, and they argue that they can understand the local needs, the needs of their constituents a little bit better than the government in Canberra handing down these kind of mandates. In particular with education, what sort of pushback have we seen on this one recently?
Well, I mean, I suppose there's a COAG is coming up. So there's the meeting of all the education ministers, which still needs to be done, and they'll nut out all the details of the Gonski 2.0 plan. So we don't actually have the final plan in terms of the agreement between the federal government and the states and territories yet. But in the meantime, there's been a few states and territories, such as the Andrews government, which have expressed a bit of concern over having less control over their own school funding model. And I mean, just looking at it from a common sense perspective, I mean, the ACT and the Northern Territory, for example, are just so radically different in terms of demographics and geography. It makes absolutely no sense to have the same school funding model for both those territories, right? But I mean, but basically under the federal government mandating exactly what each state and territory does, you have those two territories treated the same. So I guess that's the issue which is going to be coming up, I suppose, over the next 6 months as they nut out the final details of the Gonski 2.0 plan.
Well, I guess in those kind of regions, do we have any sort of solid alternatives that have actually been proposed?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends a lot on the individual state and territory. So, I mean, for example, in the Northern Territory, they've had massive increases in funding over the past 10 years, and their results are just keep going down and down. So, obviously, in terms of funding, it's a lot more complicated than just needing more funding to improve your own school system. And in reality, I think what needs to happen is that the states and territories need to focus a lot more on factors other than funding to improve their own school systems. And it'll vary from state to state, but there might be some states where teacher education could be improved a lot more. There's other states where they focus a lot more on early literacy and numeracy, and that does tend to help their NAPLAN results and so on. So it does, I mean, at the end of the day, it is going to vary from state to state, and that's the idea of federalism.
And just finally, I mean, these debates around federalism, they obviously rage, well, basically anywhere around the world where you can find a centralized government. I think certainly looking at the United States, where we see such a broad nation, and yet their state governments do have a great deal more power to decide things than a lot of the Australian state governments. And that can be, I think, a little bit chaotic within itself. Looking abroad at other places this has been nutted out, is there anywhere we can learn a little bit more about how to make the most effective use of education? Is there a way we can look abroad to see if there are any lessons we can take from other systems to use here, to apply here?
Well, I mean, actually, Australia is relatively decentralized compared to a lot of countries around the world. You're right about that. For example, Canada, which performs reasonably well on international literacy and numeracy tests, they have a very decentralized school funding system. So they don't even have a federal Department of Education. All education is allocated to the local provinces. So I think there is a sense in which if you allow the local government to have a bit more power over their own schools, they can tend to work a lot better. And I suppose the other thing is, in terms of risk, if a particular state government stuffs up, it just affects that particular state, whereas if the federal government stuffs up, then it affects the entire country. So in a sense, it does help a bit if you sort of to manage the risk by delegating the responsibility to individual states and territories.
Blaise, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Great. Thanks very much, Sean.